Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm ready to play today.
Now see, this makes me want to see some baseball. It really does. I don't think baseball deserves my over-the-top exuberance just yet, but the closer we get to this major step, the closer we get to the end of July. It's funny, right? Because it feels like the days are flying until now. I want them to go faster, and now they appear to be going much more slowly, right? Because there's something to look forward to. It's funny how time can play tricks on our brain. Our brains can play tricks on us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us as we say goodbye weekend and we cruise into another Monday. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. He's one of my favorites and one of the best in the business. Jason Stark, now senior baseball writer for The Athletic and also an insider for MLB Network, joining us now on the show. And Jason, if you could just hang on 1 second. Hold on. We're having a bit of a technical difficulty. I apologize for that. That's our fault. Just wait 1 second. 855-212-4227. Again, that's our toll-free line. And then on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We certainly, as I say, are getting closer to having the big four return. Now, the NFL, in terms of actual games, is still not until mid-September, so they have some time to be able to play with. But in the next couple weeks, basketball, hockey, baseball, maybe following suit with MLS, they've had to postpone a few games. They've had a couple of teams that they have forced out of the tournament in Orlando because they're going uber cautious, right? So they've had some positive tests. They've had a couple of teams with many sort of outbreaks. But because they are trying to err on the side of caution, they would rather have that than worry about eliminating a team that, okay, it wasn't that bad, so to speak. And so we'll see. But I'm, like I say, I'm impressed with the fact that the sports have gotten to this point. And so for me, it's just a major step. Every day that we go through and there's still not a cancellation, there's still not a full out, postponement or, hey, we're not going to be ready to go. To me, that's good news. So no news is good news, right? All right, Jason, we apologize. That's our fault, the technical difficulty. Jason Stark with us here After Hours. So we're inside of 2 weeks now until opening night. As you look at these next 2 weeks, what are the biggest challenges for baseball to make sure it stays on track toward opening night?
Let's hope, Amy, that they've got the whole testing thing down. That wasn't going so hot initially, right? It was a combination of circumstances. I'm willing to give them a little benefit of the doubt, but they have to make this work. Just think that if you ever ran into a situation like what happened to the Nationals last week, where the general manager has to put out a statement saying, we don't feel it's safe to work out. If that ever happened during the season, you have to start canceling games, right? So that part of it has to get figured out. And I think the other thing to look for is, Right, now that they've finished the initial testing, let's see where the rate of positive tests goes. So far, so good, it seems like, but I'm not an infectious disease doctor. I don't even want to play one on the radio. So let's just see where this goes. The biggest thing I think everybody worries about is internal spread of the virus inside a team.
Sure. You know, it's really impressive, though, you talk about the initial rounds of intake testing. I am confident that basketball, hockey, football, they would all take a rate of under 2%. I mean, that's really impressive, given the number of people that were tested initially for baseball to get into all of its home markets.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I don't really want to jump to any conclusions on this. I have been talking to infectious disease specialists myself, just to educate myself. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what they tell me is, as long as the rate is around 1%, give or take some percentage points, right? That's probably an acceptable rate, as long as nobody gets seriously ill. I mean, the rate of positive tests of asymptomatic people in the country is around 1%. So 1% is at least normal. I mean, what you worry about is all of a sudden there's a round of testing and it jumps up to 3 or 4%, or you have a team where it's 3, 4, 5, 6 people. That's a real problem. If one team has to shut down and the league tries to keep going, it gets complicated fast.
It definitely does. I think something else, though, that I take away as a positive is that, unlike a bubble where you are kind of stuck because everybody is inside that bubble, you know, if you have a team that ends up with maybe a small outbreak, a handful of guys, well, then you're still essentially keeping them, or they are, away from most of the other teams in baseball. So I guess that's my next question, Jason. What happens if there is, let's say, a team that has a situation like what we saw in MLS, where there are 9 players or there are 5 players who have the virus? What is baseball's plan then?
You know, I just wrote a column about this for The Athletic, and there are a lot more questions than answers, obviously.
Yes.
Look, there's no real standard for what would have to happen to shut down a team. But, you know, I would say the language and the agreement comes down to Rob Manfred will know it when he sees it.
Oh, gosh.
And like, I don't know what happens if he thinks there's enough of an outbreak to shut a team down, but that team doesn't want to get shut down, mm-hmm. or the union doesn't want them to be shut down. Then you've got a disagreement that would have to go to a grievance. And, like, imagine that situation. So that's a big worry. Here's another thing. How long would they have to shut down? All right, say it's one team, okay? Say you can get that one team under control in a couple of weeks, but it's a 60-game season. A team that misses 2 weeks, when there's so little opportunity even to make up the games, 15 games is 25% of the season. Like, imagine a Yankee-Red Sox race where the Yankees play 60 games, but the Red Sox only play 45. Or, I mean, in football, imagine the Packers play all 16 games, but the Vikings only play 12, and the Vikings have a better percentage or whatever. Like, they're just so many odd ramifications. But as I keep trying to remind myself, if the only thing that we lose in this baseball season is games, it will have been okay, right?
Yes, absolutely. Considering how hard they've worked to get to this point, I hope they can push through. It's always great to have our friend Jason Stark from The Athletic and MLB Network with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So let's talk actual baseball. It feels weird, I know, but we're going to do it anyway. So,
yeah.
60-game season. Seriously, what does that mean, Jason? What does that mean for a sport that you covered for so long,
yeah,
that it doesn't look anything like what we're used to?
Yeah, we're used to a baseball season being this long, leisurely journey from April, you know, way on out in the distance to September, some September Sunday where the leaves are falling, the NFL's playing in the background. That's not going to describe this season. I feel like 60 games is like baseball's version of the Olympic 400-meter relay. A 4-game losing streak is the mathematical equivalent of a 10-game losing streak. I even wrote a column a week or so ago that explained why a 7-game losing streak would be like a 19-game losing streak. So, you know, teams in baseball, they have a bad week. You can't afford to have that bad week this year. There's no margin for error. So I think just that sense of urgency that is going to surround every series, and maybe even every game, is going to be cool as long as we can get to opening day.
Mm. So 50 games last year into the season. So it was the beginning, but it's 50 games. And the Nationals, who ended up as the World Series champs, were 19-31 through 50 games. That's the lowest point of their schedule, 50 games. Could you imagine last year? It would have been totally different. We would have had a completely different winner in 2019.
Yeah. And look, the weirdness of this season, I think, in some ways is going to be fun. It wouldn't be fun for a team like that, you know. Even after 60 games, they, as hot as they got, they'd only climbed to 27-33. You're not going to get into the playoffs if you have a losing record. And so there's no time in a season like this to get healthy and get your act together. That's going to be a really strange part of it. I just wrote a piece the other day in The Athletic about some of the aberrational things that could happen, how the impossible could happen. You know, it's not impossible that a team like the Tigers could win the World Series, because 60 games is so different from the marathon. And here's an example. The Rockies last year had a 60-game streak in which they went 37-23. In all their other games, they went 34-68.
Oh,
so if you go 37-23 this year in these 60 games, you're probably going to be the best team in baseball. You'll be like, we'll think you're the best team in baseball, even if in a normal season you would have reminded us in the other games that you were really more like the 62 Mets. Okay, that's how strange baseball seasons can get. Over 60 games, teams don't necessarily define themselves in a normal season, but I think I've mentioned to you before, normal is not a word that's going to describe this season.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. Word is so foreign on my tongue. So I was looking at your Twitter, Matthew Boyd for the Cy Young then. Is that where you're going?
Eno Saris and I wrote this piece, and we were looking for just guys who would be outside our normal box, who could do stuff, right? And so Matthew Boyd kind of caught my attention because he had a stretch last year, 60 games by the Tigers, in which he piled up these unbelievable strikeout numbers, right? 13.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. There's only been one pitcher in the history of baseball who had a strikeout rate that good over a full season. That was Gerrit Cole last year. But there is no full season this year, right? And so what happens if a guy like that with swing and miss stuff, who maybe can't stay healthy or can't keep the ball in the park over the course of the 6 months, but has a 60-game stretch where everybody is swinging and missing, like that pitcher could wind up winning a really strange Cy Young. And so, like, we picked his name out of the air. We could have picked other names. But that's just an example of why this season has a chance to be so odd.
He's a senior writer for The Athletic, Jason Stark, with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So then what teams, or what kind of teams, even if we're not talking specifics, but what kind of teams does a 60-game season favor?
Well, it's certainly going to favor the teams that stay healthy, that don't have a lot of positive tests. I keep mentioning how odd it is to think about this, but if you lose a player for 2 weeks in a normal season, I mean, that's not even 10% of the season.
Right, doesn't
if
matter.
If you lose a player for 15 games out of this season, he's just missed 25% of the season. And so, like, I look at a team like the Yankees. They feel like they're built to be a super team no matter how long the season is. But suppose they have the kind of injuries this year that they had last year. It wouldn't take much to derail even what should be a great team if things go wrong. You just don't have the ability to recover from a bad week, let alone two bad weeks, whether it's because of injuries or anything else. So I just think the standings could wind up being weird, no matter how talented you are, no matter how deep you seem to be right now.
We have continued to see a player or two a day who are opting out on Friday. Buster Posey with the awesome news that he and his wife are adopting identical twin baby girls. The reaction around Major League Baseball, I know it's been a tenuous offseason at best, but what's been the reaction around baseball to different guys deciding this season's not for them?
Well, I was worried about this a week or so ago. I wrote a month ago about the idea that players were going to opt out, and some of them were going to be big names, big stars. Buster Posey qualifies. And, you know, there's a group of players who are clearly high risk medically, mm-hmm. and everybody will understand when they opt out. They get salary, they get service time. That part is pretty clear cut. But then there's everybody else. There are players opting out who are saying they're not comfortable, who maybe just don't want to deal with all the challenges, considering the, how many millions of dollars worth of pay cut they're taking. But nobody's saying that. And so far, I think there's been a level of understanding by almost everybody that there are valid reasons not to play. And in the case of somebody like Buster Posey, who can't relate to that as a fellow human, that you have newly born, newly adopted twins born prematurely in the
NICU?
Neonatal ICU? Yeah. Is that the right terminology?
Yes.
And so his choice would be, we just adopted twins, now I've got to spend the next 3 to 4 months living apart from my family. That's a really difficult choice to make. But, the other thing that we're seeing is these players who have opted out so far are players who could afford to. The younger players have to play no matter what, no matter what their family situation is, right? No matter what the circumstances may be. And so I know players who have decided to live apart from their family during this season. And they don't qualify as high risk, but they definitely qualify as human beings who are going through challenges that we don't ordinarily think of athletes going through.
For sure. Jason Stark with us here on CBS Sports Radio. I love asking this question of people who covered their particular sport for a long time. And I know you and I have had so many conversations about baseball that are nothing like this. But what do you miss the most?
Oh, I just miss the daily presence of baseball. I'm one of those people. I don't know many people in the world who love baseball more than me, who love their jobs more than I love mine. And it just, for me, during the baseball season, baseball is a friend. It's something to care about, something to pay attention to, something to watch and listen to and think about and talk about every day. And I'll just give you an example. On a Sunday afternoon, I miss being able to put a baseball game on if I'm home, right? And I often am home on Sunday afternoons just working on stuff. I'll admit to this. I've gone fishing on YouTube looking for a game to just throw up there because I miss it.
Aww.
I don't know. Does that make me crazy?
No.
It just makes me somebody who loves the sport I cover, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. I always call it the soundtrack of summer. I mean, it's always the background for me. I love listening to baseball play-by-play on the radio. I just like having it on, even if it's not a game that is high profile. But it's like a friend and a companion. And
that's right.
It does feel like that friend or companion is currently in hibernation.
I told Dwayne Kuiper that There's nothing I love more than late at night, you know, after I finish work or after I come home from the park, or late in a Sunday afternoon, to flip on a Giants game and listen to him and Mike Kruko. And he texted me back and he said, "Well, if you don't have Ambien, there's always us."
That's fantastic.
It's actually way more fun than that.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, it is always good to talk to you, and it always good. We always laugh. No matter what's going on, we always laugh.
That's so, a good plan.
Yeah. You can find Jason on Twitter at J-A-Y-S-O-N. So Jason S-T, Jason Stark, senior baseball writer at The Athletic. You'll also see him on MLB Network as games return. And does it feel like forever ago winning the Spink Award at the Baseball Hall of Fame a year ago?
It's a year ago this week.
Oh, my gosh.
We think about it all the time.
Good. I'm so glad. Well, it's great to have you, and we will talk to you again soon, Jace.
Amy, it is always a pleasure. Great to talk to you.
Jason is one of the best, and one of those people that when I tell others I know him, I always get a cool reaction, like, what? Oh, yeah, yeah. He, Buster Olney, Tim Kirkjian, they were the three, I would say, most supportive, most kind, most accommodating, most helpful of insiders at my previous network. And the number of times that I had them on my shows, wowzers, they were fixtures. So every now and then when we get to grab Jason, who's with The Athletic, it's such a treat. So appreciate Jason. And as always, if you miss any part of our show or you want to listen back to the interviews, maybe share them, you can find everything on the weekday morning. So right after the show is over, you can catch it in its entirety. After Hours, AmyLawrence.com.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Oh, so good to hear Major League Baseball. Remember, the Nationals were 19-31 after 50 games. So if we'd had a 60-game season in 2019, they don't win the World Series. They don't get that huge weight off their collective shoulders as a franchise. Last October, Dave Jagler on the Nationals radio network. What a series that was. And really, we've been spoiled. Three out of the last four World Series have been phenomenal entertainment. Yeah, I know. You can point to the fact that maybe the Astros shouldn't have won in 2017. We don't know. We'll never know. We can't go back and rewrite history. Something that is I think we forget sometimes. We can't go back and rewrite history. And so in 2017, we have the World Series that we have, which is that it was seven games. It was Dodgers. It was Astros. It was incredible. We had Indians and Cubs before that. Then think about this last year. Just, gosh, I mean, it wasn't even a year ago, and it feels like a lifetime, but once again, game seven, and this time it's the Nationals winning in Houston, similar to how the Astros won in Los Angeles. So I wouldn't say that the Red Sox-Dodgers was anticlimactic, only that it didn't go the game seven and wasn't quite as dramatic as the others, but still a really impressive run of World Series. I mean, think about the, even going back a few years now, the Kansas City Royals, the San Francisco Giants in beating the Royals the year before that. So we've had some good World Series drama over the last decade or so. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, gosh, St. Louis. If we're talking about the last decade, St. Louis and Texas in 2011. Also, pretty freaking incredible. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line, and it's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. So no need to wait. Don't delay. Visit geico.com to learn more. Let's squeeze in one call here. Jerry is in Washington, D.C. Welcome to After Hours.
Hello, Amy. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, sir.
Hey, thank you. First of all, congratulations on your new house.
Thank you.
Second of all, My heart goes out to John Travolta. I've been a big fan of his since in the 70s when he was Vinnie Barbarino. And the fact that he lost his wife, Kelly Preston, that really touched me because I'm a widower as well. Also, as far as the Redskins, I'm calling from Washington, D.C. I don't care what they change their names to. We're a football team, and I live walking distance from RFK Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that they will come back, and I hope that Snyder has a change of mind and the rest of the people in his group also have the same. Second of all,
Hold on. When you say change of mind, do you mean change of mind as in they don't go ahead and take Redskins out of the name, or they do?
No, they do. They do. Okay. My dad and I always talked about it back in the 80s and the 90s, and we said, you know what, change the name. It doesn't matter. If we're winning, we could be called anything. but since Snyder has taken over the team, we haven't been winning as much, but let's go ahead and make that change. Let's get the new people in. Let's show that we are very cognizant of name change and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, you and I have talked about gardening for the last 2 years, and I want to know that. We've talked.
Okay.
And also, I want to know if you have designated a part of your yard for your garden, and let me know, because I do have some of the best organic fertilizer right here in the D.C. nation's capital, and I want to just want you to let me know, did you do that? And if so, I will have some organic fertilizer sent to you, or if possible, I would love to set your garden up for the next year, because this TLC out of Percyville, Virginia, is some of the best organic fertilizer I've ever dealt with.
Well, to answer the first question, thank you so much. That's very kind of you. It's been exactly a month Monday that I moved into the home. It's been completely overwhelming. I've spent more hours cleaning this house in a month than I have spent cleaning the entire 5 years that I lived in the last place. And so here's the deal. I have not done anything outside except for water and mow. And then my brother and I trimmed a bunch of stuff when he was here. I'm not planting anything new right now because I have so many other things to do with the house that I don't want to essentially bite off more than I can chew. So this first year is all about keeping everything alive that's already there, which is not veggies. It's all flowers. I do have a basil plant, but that's in a pot that I brought with me. And so next year I will be trying some new stuff and maybe dig in a spot where I can put a garden. But for now, I just need to get into the house, get it clean, get settled. I think I'm 75% there. And I've been warned by many people like Dave, don't go all crazy with the house projects in the first year. Just get in, get unpacked, which is what I'm working on now. But thank you so much. And this time, spring of next year, I'll be thinking about it.
Okay. Well, I will call you and keep in touch.
Okay.
I would love to string your garden for cucumbers and tomatoes.
Oh, you're sweet.
And everything. You're only 4 hours away from me, and you're good to go. And trust me, as far as security, my sister is a retired NYPD police officer, so you're in good hands.
Oh, she would come with you?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, well, that I don't typically allow visits to my home, but if she was coming with you, maybe we could figure it out.
Oh, absolutely. She's good to go. So we're good.
You're sweet, Jerry.
Because I know we've talked about it for the last couple of years. And also, I want to say hello to your grandmother and your mom.
Thank you.
And I wish you the best, and you're going to be great. You're going to do great. So we're going to make this happen, okay?
Oh, you're sweet, Jerry. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right. Take care. God bless.
The man calls up and says, don't worry, I'm going to plant your whole garden for you. And my sister is a former NYPD. And so, you know what? You're good. She'll come along and you'll be safe from me. It's a unique proposal. I like it. All right. I have to answer the most popular question I got on social media over the weekend. Wait until I tell you. You're going to know what the question is when I tell you the story, because I think I got it maybe like 50 times over the weekend. And a really sweet gesture by my neighbor, a new neighbor, and then we'll get back to your calls as well.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
If you listen really closely, if we ever play that again or play it another time in the not too distant future, you can hear Marco Belletti howling with laughter. He does a shriek of sorts, like in the background, and then he pounds the desk because that is his kind of music. When Marco used to be in studio with us, he and I worked together the first 2 years that I was here at CBS Sports Radio, and on into the third, and then his schedule changed, but he was constantly wearing Led Zeppelin t-shirts. But I know nothing about that kind of music. It's not in my repertoire, not on my iPod. And so he happened to be with us the night that caller Dwayne called up about that particular song, and Marco had tears streaming down his face and could barely speak. He was laughing so hard, and I was just clueless, but laughing at Marco anyway. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So speaking of laughter and mirth, there is a moment for me to show off, an opportunity for me to show off in the grocery store on Saturday. This is my nerdy way of showing off. And I put this on social media Saturday and got so many responses to it. My nerdy way of showing off is to help shorter, height-challenged shoppers by grabbing items off the top shelf at the stores when they can't get them. And so there was a woman, oh gosh, I don't know how short she was, maybe 5'5", something like that. And she was looking for vegetarian baked beans. And I was in the same aisle on Saturday morning in Walmart looking for beans for chili. Anyway, so we twice bumped into each other, which was really funny because we had our backs to each other. And so the first time I apologized and kind of went around her. And then lo and behold, we both backed up and bumped into each other again. So we were kind of laughing about it. And she said something about looking for baked beans that were vegetarian because she had a member of a vegetarian in her family. And so because she couldn't see them on the top shelf, I was able to help out. And then I grabbed one, reached up and grabbed one of the cans, and she wanted two more. And so I think I grabbed every last can of vegetarian baked beans that were up there. But yeah, it was really the highlight of the Walmart shopping trip was, well, escaping with my life, but also being able to help this woman grab three cans or four cans of vegetarian baked beans off the top shelf. So I put this on social media. What do you think, Dave, was the most popular question? I swear I got it 50 times over the weekend.
Put me on the spot here.
No, think about it. I tweeted that I like to use my height to help people. It's my nerdy way of showing off. What would be the obvious question to follow that?
How tall are you?
Exactly. I just refused to answer just because I got so... There was no way I was going to be able to answer all the tweets. Could you imagine if I just spent all day Saturday doing nothing but responding to the tweets I got?
7'4". 7'5".
Taller than Manute Bulge. Kristaps Porzingis tall. No, for those of you who asked, I'm 5'10". In shoes, which I do wear shoes to Walmart, I am 5'11". When I wear heels, I'm over 6 foot, which I love to do. It's so much fun. Anyway, that's the answer to the question. And I've shared that on the show before, but I thought I would go ahead and share it again. Also, this was really cool on Saturday. I was cleaning. Well, not cleaning. I was unpacking my piano room, which is also my office. And I saw this woman walk up my sidewalk. And she knocked on the door. And so I came around. Now, I have a screen on my front door. So I was able to open my door. And then, you know, she was standing on the other side of the screen. Poor woman was extremely nervous. I felt bad. I wasn't doing anything. I didn't come outside, but she was really nervous, probably because of COVID and just even wondering if I would welcome her knocking on my door. So she was wearing a mask. She walked up to my stoop, put a plant down on my step, and then backed way up, We weren't quite yelling at each other, but we were really far apart for a conversation. Anyway, she was so sweet. She was extremely nervous. And I don't know, this is the first time I met her, so I don't know whether or not that's her nature or whether or not she was nervous because she was knocking on the door of a person she'd never met. She apologized for not baking, and she said she'd been meaning to come over more quickly, and would I please forgive her for not showing up right away? Gosh, I mean, she was so nice. And she gave me a little pot of pink impatiens, which are, I love pink flowers, but I do love these little pots. And so she was so nice. And she offered to help me with any questions I have about the neighborhood and told me her name is Mary Lou, which is my mom's name. So I said I wouldn't forget it. So that was really neat. It wasn't the only neighbor to come over and introduce herself, but it was the only one to bring a gift, which is not necessary, but was really cool. So I enjoyed that as well. And the two highlights of my weekend, showing off my height and making a neighbor nervous. Woohoo! It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Coming up just after the top of the hour, does Cam Newton only record Instagram videos when he's working out? The only time, maybe his phone, every other time his phone is charging or not with him, or I don't know. It's just, maybe it's convenience. He just has someone else there to help him, I guess. I don't know. And so Cam Newton with yet another workout video and a really cool story from the world of NASCAR as they continue on, forge ahead now into month number three, actually. Coming up this week, they'll start month number three of racing. Jimmy Johnson was back this weekend, too, which was great. All right, 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Gary, who's in Ohio. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm calling from Finley, Ohio, the home of Aaron Kraft, a point guard from Ohio State, and mm-hmm. Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay.
Yeah, my question is, I mean, during this pandemic, because the governor is lifting the bans and lifting the pandemic, like he's given the levels on it now. And my concern is, I don't think they're going to have high school football this year.
Aww.
And I don't know about where you live at, about the talk of having the high school football. And the Big Ten, I guess, announced that last week that they're going to have in-conference games only. And I just want to know your opinion is how they're going to do the national championship this year and have, like, the Big Ten conference championships this year. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do all this. I mean, I'm going to be pretty bored without high school football. And
aww.
I'm a Michigan fan, too.
You're a Michigan fan in Ohio? Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay,
every time when Aaron Kraft sees me, he kind of smiles at me and tells me to get that shirt off. But I'm a Michigan fan. I'll die as a Michigan fan.
Well, no one's dying. No need to talk about
that. By the way, he's retiring this year.
You just keep going, though. Yes, no, I know. He was playing in the tournament. Okay, so let me quick answer since we're going up to the top of the hour. Right now in college football, we're waiting to see what other conferences will follow suit. The Ivy League, of course, has gone ahead and canceled all of its fall sports. I think that's a drastic step that most Power 5 schools will not take. But as you point out, the Big Ten, and then over the weekend, the Pac-12 followed suit by going to a conference-only slate. And what they're doing is creating more flexibility. So it's not that they want to cancel the season or it's the first step toward canceling the season. What they're trying to do is create flexibility so that they are able to adjust on the fly. If they need to change their schedules, they can limit travel amongst conference teams. They know that all the conferences or all the schools in the conference have protocols that they can depend on. And so it's really about, the flexibility of scheduling, potentially moving some of the division games up to the front of the season so they can make sure they get those underway, but then also being able to create some uniformity when it comes to travel and to protocol. So I do think that these Power 5 commissioners are more committed to getting college football on the field than really the most diehard fans like you, Gary, because it's a lot of money for their athletic department budgets, of course, that they would be missing if they didn't have football. So I'm pretty confident they're going to do everything they possibly can. As for high school football, I know it's really hard. You said you don't know where I live. I live in New Jersey, And right now they don't even know if they're going to have school in person or if it's going to be remote learning. And I think that's the first step. And you can't have high school football or any other kind of high school sports if you're not actually in class. So we have to have that question answered first. Thanks for your phone call.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.